Matthew chapter 13, verse 11 is where we left off. I think that's what I said. At least that's what I wrote down.
I think that's what you said, too.
Yeah. I went to the other way around, chapter 11, verse 13, and I said, we already done that. In this chapter, things have changed. Jesus is now going out and about. His ministry has moved out into the country to the people. It's not so much in the synagogues anymore. He's now, and the big change is he is just firing off parables. So much so that the disciples ask him, hey, what's up with this? How come you're using so many parables all of a sudden? And he's explaining it. That's where we're at. The disciples came to them and said, why do you speak to them in parables? 10 through 17, Jesus speaks, he uses, you know, that many verses to tell us why. There's no record of anyone else using them. I believe this is where we left off last time. Old Testament used them. Nathan used one with David. As we said, when David had Uriah killed, and Nathan came and said to him, he gave him a parable about the poor guy and the king and the little sheep.
Right.
And then, one of the most powerful moments in Scripture, and where Nathan says to him, it's you. And I always let that finger point at me. Because that's what Scripture is about. That's what our journey is about. It's about us changing. What's wrong with me? And we sure spend a lot of time worrying about what's wrong with everybody else. The disciples ask why Jesus speaks to the crowds in parables. Note that Jesus does not explain this parable to the crowd. He explains it to the disciples. Jesus answers them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. The truth must be said. Understanding it is a matter of wanting to know the truth more than you want to hear what you want to hear. So often we come to God and we pick up Scripture, or we listen to preachers who will tell us what we want to hear, looking for what we want. And until you stop doing that, it will never be everything it can be. And apparently what he's saying is, you guys are there, they're not. Parables are not for those who want to have their ears tickled, but they still have a message for those who seek God. And usually parables have one point. That's not all the time, but there's one point that's being made. A relationship with and a commitment to God are prerequisites to understanding the parabolic teachings of Christ. Christians get parables, whereas people who don't look for Christ, who don't study Scripture, can hear it and go,
they don't understand.
No. To them, the that Jesus said, is those who did not come to seek truth, but came to seek miracles. He has this huge crowd following him around. And what he's telling us is there's a whole bunch, and this should sound very familiar, there's a whole bunch in this giant crowd that are not looking to have their lives changed. They're not looking for God. They're not looking to be conformed to the image of God. They're not looking to further, they didn't come for repentance.
Yeah, they're coming for, what can he do for me?
Entertainment or whatever. Right, yeah. Exactly. That's what are you going to do for me now? Mm-hmm. The them also includes the religious leaders who were constantly monitoring Jesus' words. There's this cat and mouse game going on. Well, it's more like a lion and mouse game. You know, they think, they always keep trying to outsmart him, and it just never works. He just makes them look like idiots. So they kill him, because they can't beat him, so they kill him. Luke 8:10, Jesus explains the parables to them, and he said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and in hearing they may not understand. He said, I'm telling the truth, I'm putting it right there, and they don't get it. And he said, but I'm doing it so you can. Matthew 19, 10 through 11. There's some message just for the sheep. The disciples said to him, if the relationship of a man with his wife is like this, it's better not to marry. And he said to them, not all men could accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. That line goes back to parables. What Jesus is saying is, if you're wondering why people don't get it, it seems so plain, they don't want to get it. What seems so plain to you, what is a truth that is just sitting there and just blazing away like a big spotlight on it, and you keep saying, there's the truth, they're going, where? You know, they're not looking for it. And this has a lot to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. Only those whom it has been given. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. I will, you know, much like your friend, not one of us has ever led anybody to Christ. Holy Spirit, every single time. Yeah, he allows us the honor of being used in such a thing. Mm-hmm. And more than your words, the most wonderful thing you could hear is someone saying how you lived your life affected them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's right. I saw this, I saw you do this, I heard you did that, I know you did this, and that affected me. And it's always things you never think about. You go do them, you don't even know it meant anything. That's why you just do what's right and you don't worry about it.
So Mark Pivak does that at the end of the upper room. He says, you know how many people I've saved?
Zero.
Huh.
It's the truth.
God does it.
And that's sure what he's saying. Only to those who has been given.
Yeah. Right.
It's the Holy Spirit. Maybe they're not ready. There could be. Maybe they're just refusing to listen. That's not our business.
Right.
Our business is to say the right things and do the right things. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. But just as it is written, things which the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of men, all that God has prepared for us, those who love us. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. Once again, there's an us and a them. And how did these things get revealed? Through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Why does it search all things? For us. To tell us. The Spirit is active. It's busy. It has a goal. It's accomplishing it. It's doing. Mm-hmm. It's not. It just doesn't sit around. Woo-hoo. I mean,
sanctification.
Amen.
Right.
It brings you to salvation, and the Spirit brings you to sanctification. The entire process is God.
Yeah.
There is nothing. I've always tried to figure out what is it that we're responsible for. And I guess, and I always land on repentance, but even the repentance, the Spirit leads me to it.
Says he grants you repentance unto life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I want to know what exactly did I do in this, because I know there's people who get the same opportunity I get, and they don't do it, and it doesn't happen. Maybe I just got tired of me and listened. Maybe the only thing that happened to me...
They're not open to it.
That's what I mean. Maybe... I don't know. I don't know what I did in this. I know it begins with repentance. I come to the conclusion, I'm not God. I'm not even close, but I need God. I've done a lot of crap. I've done a lot of things wrong. Now, I know the Holy Spirit revealed that to me. So I'm not sure what I've been at this for a long, long time. Since I was 8 years old, I've been reading this book. And I just can't put my thumb on what it is I did other than listen.
It's one of God's mysteries.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it's a big one.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing I can take credit for.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 4:1. God gave them to us to be stewards of them. This is interesting. This is why God gives you these things. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants in Christ, the stewards of the mysteries of God. Hmm. Who are you? You are the stewards of the mysteries of God.
That's interesting. Wow. I never heard that.
Yeah, buddy, that's a lot, isn't it? I mean, we go through our lives and we deal with the crap of everyday life, and you know, we say words like crap in Bible study, and but man, this is epic. This is eternal stuff. You know what I mean? This is forever stuff. And what a beautiful phrase. Stewards of the mysteries of God.
Where's that at? Corinthians?
1 Corinthians 4:1. So that has a lot to do with... I'm going a long way to tell you about parables. In a strange way, it's still happening the exact same way. But not so much in parables. The Holy Spirit does this, is still doing this, speaking to his people, while the Holy Spirit is still working to make everyone else's people, the ones that are his people, what's he doing? He's turning the lambs into rams. He wants every goat to be a sheep. That's one thing. And then he wants every sheep, every lamb to be a ram, which is sanctification. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit is always doing these things.
That's where, I guess, part of the people, that predestination thing comes in, where you were predestined.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that is a can.
That's Romans 8, predestination.
All right, well, let's talk about it. Reformed theology, what Wesley called that vile doctrine.
They made up at the end of their lives, didn't they?
No, he still didn't agree with Calvin.
No, but they were.
Oh, with Hatfield, not Hatfield, Wakefield. Is that his name?
Wakefield, yeah.
Buddy, yeah.
Whiteland, yeah. I know
who you mean. Who was by far the bigger evangelist. He evangelized America, you know, while Wesley came here and just went back home with his tail between his legs. You know, nobody listened to him, nobody did nothing. That beautiful Christian fellowship got broken up over predestination. Free will versus free. It is impossible for me. Romans 8 is where they always go. You have to ask yourself, for me, there's a question. Does God knowing something mean he caused it? He knows it. That doesn't mean he caused anyone not to come to the kingdom.
Right.
And if you're going to do away with free will, if you are going to be predestination, then everybody...
Then you don't have a choice anymore.
Why are we evangelizing? Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. And you have to... everywhere Scripture says whoever... or whosoever, you have to throw it out. What did Christ say? I came to save who? Not the elect, not the chosen, the lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I be lifted up, who do I draw to me?
All men.
Mm-hmm. See, I can't get around those things. But here's the kicker. Man, them guys can preach. They know their Bible, man. I mean, I quote Reformed people in sermons as much as I do anybody. They're just really good. I don't see it as fatal to anything. We're going to find out.
I think John MacArthur is one, isn't he?
Oh yeah, there's a whole slew of them.
But he's got
the basically good, right? Yeah. They're very good.
Yeah.
But you know, Garrett's pastor was here for the birthday party, and I told him, I said, we're going to have to sprinkle this with holy water after you Reformed people leave. And we just have fun with it. You know what I mean? We do. We have fun with it. And he says, we're pulling you over. I said, oh, yeah. I said, a little bit of truth ain't the whole truth. You know. So.
Oh, gosh.
I represented us well. But, yeah, it's neat to bring it up because this has been an issue for a long, long time. And I would like people to have an understanding. If you do believe that, I see why you do. I don't. And that's just some of the reasons I gave. Mm-hmm. But even just those ones, I can't get around them. God so loved what? The world, that he gave his son.
Yeah.
Well, what they're saying is, no, he didn't.
You want to get your free will.
Well, Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which is lost.
Yeah.
I didn't come to seek and save the elect.
Well, if they're elect, not the Satan.
That, exactly. Yeah. Well, no, they would say, yes, you do, but it's just going to be them, and it always was going to be them.
It's just the process. They would say this is the process that they get
to. That has to be gone through, right.
Okay. And but, I think, Jeff, like you were saying, you look at it, you don't see what you do. And they see the same thing as you do.
Right.
And instead of you wrestling with it still, they're just like, well, I guess I do nothing, and then that's the end of it.
Right.
And so I also can see where they're coming from. I also would disagree, but I can see it.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I see where you're jumping on.
Right.
Parable of the talents. He, like you said, he did nothing. He buried his talent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could go back to good works, and you know, outside of the salvation thing. But even that would include sanctification. You know, good part of sanctification is moving into your good works. You know, that's all.
There was somebody in Munn Hall who was preaching that.
There's people everywhere.
No, I'm just saying, because I remember when I was working at the golf course, the girl working along here, and her husband was a chef, They were involved with one of the churches around here that was, that's what they believed.
Yeah.
And we got, you know, make an argument. We're just saying, very long discussion, you know. Well, said, well, you're left. How do you know the left? She's telling me I'm left.
Anybody that's a Presbyterian.
Yeah.
Is, well, in theory, is a Calvinist. Yeah, is a Calvinist. And then a whole bunch.
Started.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, but that's interesting. And
a Calvinist meaning like they're elected?
Yeah.
Okay.
God chose you. There's nothing you did or could do. It's how it's going to go. Everyone else is condemned.
Okay.
There's nothing you can do because we're totally depraved. And I agree with them on that. God is completely holy. We are totally depraved. Mm-hmm. We are not capable of saving ourselves. Oh, I'm in agreement all that way up until those people can't be saved. And I can't, yeah. You know. Then why are you evangelizing?
Right. Why do you have church?
I don't get it. But anyway, and you know, I mean, I'm not giving their side of the argument, and right. That's not fair. But as a pastor, my job is to tell you what I believe is right. And yeah, I sort of side with Wesley on this one. Anyway. I wouldn't go as far as to say that vile doctrine from the pit of hell, but
not during Bible study.
Not during Bible study.
Brood of vipers.
Yeah.
John the Baptist, dude, you brood of vipers.
That boy's got into it over this, man. Wesley's brother, Charles, was invited to preach at Wakefield Church, and he tore into him from his own pulpit, and that really got it rolling. He said, this guy here. And we're like, oh boy. So, yeah, that's what we don't want to do. No. That, there's a lesson from all this. It's not, nobody holds the whole tree. Okay, verse 12. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. That's a fundamental process. Whenever you come into the Lord, things multiply for you. When you're not with the Lord, things do not get better as time goes by.
Spiritual wisdom, because he devoured God's word.
Amen. The time for separating the wheat from the chaff had come. People had made their choices regarding Christ. He responded to their choices by choosing those who chose him. He is no longer casting pearls among the swine. He's making, this is a stand. This is like, okay, I've been at this for a while. He's changing his ministry. He's doing it different. He's starting to use parables. And they said, why? And he's telling them why. Because now it's time to fish or cut bait. You know, I'm going to start dealing with the people who accept me. Mm-hmm. I am going to start ministering to them. And that's kind of ominous. 13, therefore, it's getting late. I speak to them in parables. What he's saying is, now because all of that is why I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In other words, I have told them plainly, I've healed people, which they should understand. When I heal people, you should be listening to my words. Okay. These miracles are to cause you to give me validity as a messenger from God.
Back up the word.
Absolutely. They say, listen to this guy. This is God talking.
The power of.
Yes. The
spiritual thing.
Yes. Yeah. Jesus told everyone the same truth. There were those who refused to hear what they were told and refused to see what they were shown, even proven by great miracles. He had just preached straight out truth from God himself, came here, spoke truth, healed people, fed people, did nothing but kindness, and they just paid no attention. People always say, well, if God were to show up here and do a miracle, I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. He's already here. We killed him.
Just heal me.
Yeah. He already came. He did all those things, and we murdered him. It's not us. But he's dealing.
But he let him do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He came to have it happen. Right. I'm talking about this thing. And this is what he's addressing.
Yeah.
What he's saying is, I know this. Now I'm going to start ministering to these people. I mean, it's still open, but in 14, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah, he had just quoted a couple times, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. And that's from Isaiah 6:9.
Today, right?
Oh, it's forever. Today. But yeah. God himself was standing in front of them, speaking physically to them. And so all this stuff of, you know, well, how can you believe a book, you know, that was written by Isaiah? Because it's always been true to me. But this wasn't a book. This was God himself standing in front of him, proving who he was, the way he lived his life. I'd say it's even worse than missing. They refused to see it.
Yeah.
We're jealous.
They were just too busy looking for what they wanted.
He's just a carpenter's kid.
Basically. What was wrong with the world there is the same thing was wrong now. And it was all summed up in three words. That's, give us Barabbas. They'd seen everything he had done, every word he ever spoke, and they made a choice. Well, no, we want a political solution. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's not what we expect you to come and do. That's not what we were looking. That's not what we wanted from you, God. Yeah. You know, what we wanted from you is what this guy wants to do.
We want you to
do
away with the Roman Empire.
Yeah, that's what we want.
That's what we want.
Fix what I want fixed. Yeah. Don't fix me. Fix the world.
Yeah.
No, I came to fix you, knucklehead. Yeah. Sorry. Verse 15. For the heart of the people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts in return, and I would heal them.
Hmm.
Wow. What he's saying is, it was a choice.
Wow.
It's a choice.
There.
They chose.
Yeah.
They closed their eyes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't closed by predestination. It was closed because they chose to close them.
Mm-hmm.
Without free will, none of this makes sense. Because what God is changing is what you want. That's how this whole world goes.
But do you think God would harden our hearts like he did Pharaoh's?
When it suited his will, to speed things up, to get exactly what he wanted. Oh, absolutely. And he says that. But they close their eyes. And once they close their eyes, what he's saying is, I'm moving on.
Yeah. What's the use?
I'll be here, but yeah.
No matter what
he said, and understand their hearts, and return. The option's there. And return.
Repent.
It's there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Repent.
And I would heal them.
Yeah.
I've never got to the point where there wasn't repentance for these people.
The guy on the cross did it.
Amen.
The last minute.
At the very last moment. Isaiah 6:10, render the hearts of the people and sinners. This is what he quoted. Those who turn from the light, those who refuse to see and hear, were left in the silent darkness. God is not mocked, nor is he weak. There comes a time when he leaves us to what we desire. What you want
is what he'll give you.
Go ahead. Not to say he does not respond to repentance, which is that last line. He comes if they call upon him. He simply stops calling on them. He stops knocking. The door's still there. It could still be open from their side.
Right.
Call to him. You know, and all those beautiful Old Testament law scripture where they said, I don't want to punish you. I don't want to kill you. I don't want... Repent. Come back to me. I'll bless you. You could feel the angst. This is not what I want.
I love you.
This isn't fun for me. Yeah. This isn't, God throwing lightning bolts.
You're doing it to yourself.
Yeah. Stop it. God does not cast pearls among the swine. Here Jesus is telling disciples that these people are literally the fulfillment of the prophecy. It was written about them. But Jesus gives us a little hope to the people in this room. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, your ears, because they hear. Speaking to the disciples, you know what I'm saying. You get it. John 20:29-28. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said to him, because you have seen and have believed, blessed are those who did not see and yet believed. Do you know who that is? That's us.
Mm-hmm.
That's us. Mm-hmm. They didn't see Jesus. I didn't put my fingers in the holes in his hand and his side. Blessed are those.
faith.
Amen.
Yeah.
Response to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you convey that to someone else. It's not, once again, not my job. If my life doesn't show it, then my words are weak, you know. In this verse 16, Jesus addresses those who have seen and heard and believed. Jesus contrasts them with the religious leaders, the sheep and the goats, because they desire to hear the truth, the message that the disciples is revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. What is in their hearts affects what goes on in their minds. What we know of God, we know because we desire to know. This desire is fulfilled by the Word, the Spirit, and the events of life, the three things of how our theology is built. I tend to leave tradition out just because it's such a pain. We've done more damage with tradition than in it just about anything I could think of.
You remove it, and now we're going to do even more damage.
I did. If you noticed the thing, it's not in there. When I did the quadrilateral, it's a trilateral. Mm. I mean, I'm willing to, yes, it has a purpose, but man, it ain't up there with Scripture. It ain't up there. Anyway, I digressed.
What are the three things?
Huh?
What are the three things, Pastor?
Oh, we're talking about Wesley's quadrilateral, how we know God, how we form our theology, and of course, according to Wesley, and just about, Wesley didn't invent it. He added experience. The Word is number one. All the other things, if it doesn't conform to the Word, then it's not right. It's Word, experience, tradition, and what's the other one?
Spirit.
What was the other reason? Mm-hmm. The brain he gives you, mm-hmm. Right? And of course, the Spirit and all those things. You know, that's a given. If you can't, and reason, you know, as a younger man, I probably wouldn't have understood that, but I do now. God is reasonable. If it's not reasonable, you won't have faith in it. I'm telling you right now, faith has to be reasonable. We don't believe stupid stuff. We believe smart stuff because God has proven it. It makes sense. You look at it, you say, God loves me. God loves me. He died for me. And I see what's wrong. The whole thing makes sense. It's brilliant. This whole plan to have children, sons, to call sons, he's making them. He knew what he wanted. He had a plan to get it, and he's doing it. It's brilliant. Reason tells you this is God. Yeah, that's why he's God. And reason tells you that. So you can't leave reason out. Now, the thing they keep throwing in was tradition. And man, I'm sorry. I guess if you use it correctly.
Yeah, well, that's everything if you use
it. Yeah, yeah.
Experience can be really screwed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that's what's happening to the world right now. We're basing everything on experience instead of the
I guess in my life, the thorn in my has been tradition.
I'm
like, why are you guys doing that? You can't even, you don't even have.
What do you say is tradition?
I'll say infant baptism.
Oh, okay. I see what you're
things
saying.
Like that. Yeah. What's your
liturgy?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. You struck the
except
chord.
Gregorian chant.
Gregorian chant.
I mean, Ben went over to Orthodox
And I don't mind it if it doesn't override other things. If it doesn't override Scripture. If it does.
Yeah.
But
of course,
the people who don't want to listen to Scripture,
right,
will use tradition,
yes,
and experience or reason. Hmm. That's why Scripture has to be over all of them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know more than anybody because I'm a newbie
compared
to everybody.
Yeah, right. It would be a different perspective.
I didn't grow up in the church.
I did, and it was
Ours was
oh my goodness! Yeah. She grew up Catholic. She grew up Catholic. I mean, wow!
Yeah. So
you want to see reeking of tradition, and you go, "Why is that?" And they go, "I don't know." That's what we've always done
because we do it all the time.
That was good. Yeah,
yeah.
Sprinkled in.
Yeah, I agree. Right. I feel like we learned a good basis. Like my parents taught us a good solid foundation. I feel like there was
anyway.
Yeah,
sprinkled in some stuff.
That's how we get to know God through those things, but Scripture. And all those things, oddly enough, he just gave the Holy Spirit as a given. Mm. You know what I mean? It's, of course, you know, but these are the tangible things. You know, the Spirit not being.
The Spirit does conviction and.
Everything. You know, why read the Word without the Holy Spirit's guidance?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You end up, you know, in Waco burning buildings down and killing people. And that's what happens. You know what? We'll leave off there. I'm sorry. It's getting late.
That's interesting. That's good
we'll
to hear.
Pick up on...
So we'll be on 18?
Well, I didn't actually finish that.
The 17 is the last kind of thought before you get into the server explained. Sorry, I'm looking at my Bible that you
she's
bought.
She's trying to move me ahead verses. You see that? She's trying to hurry this along.
I think she's trying to take over.
She sees, but she doesn't see. Yeah.
Doesn't listen, yeah.
We're on verse 16, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what I get for buying her a Bible, see?
Yeah, he did, yes.
Long, long time ago. That was before we were married?
It was.
Wow.
It was in
it's changed a lot since then.
1981. Wow. You guys
older than
thought
your
of
kids?
Yes.
It's changed a lot since then.
I actually had the Bible repaired. The family did that for me. So
yep. It sent that thing out and had it rebound.
Rebound. Yep. So that's pretty cool.
It's a rebound Bible.
Yes.
Well, I start reading this amplified. It's like
really. Oh, no. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
That one there is a really. What's
it's
that?
The American Standard.
Walk through the Bible or whatever. The Open Bible.
When
I was a young man, that was it. It just had everything. It had all the annotations. I mean, it wasn't a complete, you know, but it would get you where you needed to go.
Right.
It was a very good thing. So let's pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we thank you for your word. And as always, Lord, we just ask that your spirit take control of these things and just take that word and mold it into what we need and put it into our hearts and minds and let it change us. We have to be less, you have to be more, and that's what we need. That's what this world needs.
Mm-hmm.
I ask you to watch over my brothers and sisters, make them strong, wise, brave, and compassionate, and help them to glorify your name in what they think, what they do, and what they say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Very good stuff.
Good night, everybody.